But I'm going to be discussing a web-based system for decision support that is helping you make diagnoses and for informatics in infectious disease. And the reason for all that is in these numbers. I should say that I'm the scientific advisor for a commercial version of the system. There's a system marketed from, thank you very much. Is that white wine? Or, okay, then. There's a commercial system which is marketed from Los Angeles, and I do their scientific advice. I do not get a percentage of the profits, much to my wife's dismay. Infectious disease, just to tell you why we're doing this, there are 347 generic infectious diseases. Now, you'll see as these talks go on that we all have different numbers of how many diseases there are. We just told you there are 500 infectious diseases. By a generic infectious disease, for example, bunyaviruses, there are 30 of those, and they're considered one disease in Gideon. Or the Group C, New World Group C viruses, there are 8, and we consider that one disease. Endocarditis is a vast variety of separate diseases, obviously, or bacterial pneumonia. We consider those as 8 disease each. So the numbers here change. We can get into that later. This is all in 231 countries, meaning biological countries, not necessarily political countries. For example, Puerto Rico has different diseases from the United States, so in my program, that's a country, even though politically it may not be. Some people want it to be. There are 240 signs and symptoms and things of that sort, which we'll get into. 3,000 pathogens. There's a new bacterium published in humans every week, a new bacterium in humans every week, a new disease every 6 months or so. 271 drugs against all of this, 67 vaccines, and believe it or not, 11,000 trade names just in the field of infectious disease. This is a screenshot of what we do. Gideon is an acronym which means Global Infectious Disease and Epidemiology Online. There are several modules. There's an infectious disease module, which I'll spend most of my time on, a microbiology module, and a toxicology module, which is rather interesting. But Dr. Brown can tell us a lot more about that, perhaps. It's not something I'm working on. What you have in this module, in the infectious disease module, is you have a diagnosis assist system, an expert system. You can put in signs and symptoms, 240 separate signs and symptoms in any order. And as you put in a sign or symptom, which can be a yes or no answer, this list evolves. This is a differential diagnosis. And you see right now, having put in that this is a person who has fever and a three-week illness, it's not an outbreak, there's no cough. And we've said this is a person from Uganda. It may have been acquired in Uganda. It could be a person living in Uganda. You can also say someone in the United States. It need not be an exotic disease from some country. If you put in when the person was exposed, of course, incubation period is extremely important. As you put in each of these features in any order, this list starts evolving in front of your eyes. What happened here? Did I do something? Oh. And it's all going as you watch. It's all going up and down. The disease is actually a lot of fun. And this is the differential diagnosis, 45 diseases. And up here is a dynamic algorithm. Dynamic algorithm meaning that Gideon is suggesting additional findings which are most likely to shorten this list. You can go on putting signs and symptoms here, or you can start putting them in with the algorithm. Because what it's saying is if you say it's an adult or it's a hemolysis, whatever, this number is most likely to be shortened. And the distance between the first and second disease is most likely to be extended. In other words, your diagnosis is becoming more specific. And I hope, again, I'm not speaking too rapidly for you. Many other things could be done here. We don't have time to look at them all. But if you click on a disease, you get the what is the disease, the descriptive epidemiology, how much is there in the world, the incubation period, the organisms, therapy, and things of that sort, links to country-specific information, in this case, Uganda. You can click on the why not. I say, well, I didn't agree with this list. I think this is tanapox. So Gideon says, well, it's not tanapox because it doesn't occur in Uganda. And the incubation is not correct. Other than that, it's clinically compatible with tanapox, but this is not compatible. So that's why it's not on the list. Back in 1999, WHO, which is using the program, came to us and they said, well, there's a new disease in the United States called West Nile fever. There was one day that West Nile fever was an exotic disease that occurred in Africa and nobody really learned about it. And the next day, suddenly it's in New York and suddenly we're all talking about it and it's no longer an exotic disease. So the WHO said, we'd like a tool which would show West Nile fever as a possibility, even though it's not yet endemic. They asked us to put in what's called the first case scenario. And this is the first case scenario for this particular one. So Gideon is saying, well, histoplasmosis also fits this collection of signs and symptoms, whatever, but it's not yet reported in Uganda. It may happen there, but it's not reported. And neither is Chagas disease. So these are possible diseases, but not yet. In other words, could be the first case of. The thing that's ranking the diagnosis is a formula that's familiar actually to many people in the room, your public health people. It's a Bayesian list. It's looking at how common are the symptoms in each likely disease, and it's looking at how common are the diseases themselves and ranking on that basis. And I'll get into this a little later. The second tab, see, we're in diagnosis. Second tab is diseases, and this is a description of every disease in the world, who's getting it, what countries have got it, ICD, things that we were talking about before the IT, because people have asked for this. And just a nutshell of the descriptive epidemiology, what's the disease, the agent, not in the detail that you've shown us. And we can also look at where is that disease, get pictures of the disease, some clinical features, what have you. I'll say, well, I'd like to compare some diseases on the list. So I'm comparing, let's say, three diseases. I say, what's the difference between anthrax? So I can call up a comparison of any group of diseases, let's say for teaching purposes or what have you. So you show your students, well, anthrax can cause that and plague cannot cause that and what have you. As you see later, you can do this with drugs and microbes as well. If I click on a specific disease, I find that this disease is being reported in 24 countries. The countries will be denoted by icons on this list. There's a worldwide note for every disease, that is, how much is in Asia, how much in Africa, how much in the world, what are the likely vectors in this case of this disease. There are references, which I'll talk about in a bit. If you click on one of the links, you get, here's another one, melioidosis in Thailand. There are right now 18,000 notes of this sort, disease in country, how much salmonella in Denmark, how much melioidosis in Thailand, how much measles in Zimbabwe. And this is the kind of detail. These notes right now encompass 3 million words of text. There are reported cases of melioidosis. If you click here, you get an actual graph, which I'll show you in a sec. And there are linked references. So there's one of the references. There are right now 250,000 references in Gideon, 250,000 references, actually a bit more right now. If I click on the graph link, you get the actual graph, not just how many cases per year, but how many cases per 100,000. There's a spreadsheet in Gideon that goes back to the 1850s, which has the population of every country for every year in the world. So it calculates automatically the rates per 100,000 going back to the 1850s. Sorry. There are pictures, 5,000 pictures right now, microscopic life cycle of anything that has a life cycle will be in there. There's that new malaria people are talking about, the Noelsai malaria. This I got from Jay Keystone. It's one of his patients in Canada. Some clinical material, a clinical capsule of every disease. Here I've put in another scenario, signs and symptoms, but I've said this is a person who we suspect bioterror. So instead of saying Uganda, as you remember, the first case was from Uganda, I said the country, if you will, is bioterror. I get now a list of diseases compatible with bioterror that would cause this clinical constellation. This is not Bayesian. It's a different kind of, and I can get into why that is. It's not a Bayesian list, but it's still a differential diagnosis based on symptoms. And here's, again, that first case scenario. In other words, if it's not bioterror, well, you should think of TB. If it is bioterror, you should be thinking of plague. And here again, the why not? Why isn't smallpox on the list? Well, the incubation period didn't fit in this particular case. Instead of a worldwide note, I have a bioterror note, which is a chronology of every disease insofar as bioterror. Again, comparing bioterror diseases. This is some worldwide data on one of those diseases, plague, going back to 1948. How many cases per year, and again, how many per 100,000? There's a map for every disease. The maps are interactive. They're gradient maps, things that you're used to. They change as data go in. I don't sit here drawing maps in my computer, but every time we put in new cases into a spreadsheet, the map adjusts accordingly. And if you click on a country, the map blows up to show that country. And if you want to know about plague in Egypt, you would get the note on plague in Egypt. Here's some other maps, polio in the world, anthrax, ehrlichiosis, just to show paragonomyces, which some of you may not be familiar with, nanophytiasis, which is a disease of this country, as you may know, the old world coltiviruses, there are three of those right now. Here's a disease which occurs in only one country, Ockelbo disease, which maybe you haven't heard of, but if you've been to Sweden, you speak to children there, which I have, say, yeah, my friend was out with Ockelbo this week. They know about it. It's actually a common disease there. Interesting disease. Here's one of the generic diseases. This is one disease in Gideon. So if you were to click on a list of mosquito-borne diseases, this comes up as one disease. But in fact, there are 30 bunyoviruses. And they're chronicled here. And if you click on specific countries, if you click, let's say, on Senegal, which has a lot of the bunyoviruses, you get specific notes for Senegal insofar as this type of disease. Every disease that has a vaccine has the vaccine schedule for that country. This is how they vaccinated in Bahrain. Go back. Here we go. And you can get this kind of graph as well. In other words, how many people are being vaccinated versus how many people are getting the disease. And these are good data because they're the estimates of vaccine coverage, not the actual published vaccine coverage. In this part of Gideon, you have the option of doing what are called relational databases, which I think you'll get into. I don't want all of the diseases. I want to know how many mosquito diseases there are. So I click on mosquito, and this comes up right away. 37 mosquito-borne diseases on the planet. Again, many of these are generic. How many mosquito-borne virus diseases are there in Brazil? Well, there are 12 of those. Or I could click, instead of virus, I can say flaviviruses or orthobunyaviruses. In other words, I can narrow it down to the specific type of virus. And having gotten this list, I can click on each one. Let's say I want to write a pamphlet on mosquito-borne viruses in Brazil. I click on the disease, and I click on this print icon, and I get a printout of everything you've seen. What is the disease? How much in Brazil? And the graph, and then I click on the next one, I get the same thing. And in fact, you can prepare a pamphlet for your people, your students, your residents, whatever, on that topic in about 60 seconds. That's all it takes. We did a book once on parasites. It's a 500-page book coming from Gideon. It just chronicles all the parasites. We had the first draft on the computer in one day. That's how long it took, just clicking and pasting and clicking and pasting. And it was a draft for a 500-page book, took one day. Here's another one. What trematodes are you likely to get from sushi in Korea? And this is the list. And you can see what sort of detail they have. These are hadrophyids of Korea, and you may not be that familiar with some of these, but which fish are involved and which snails and which parts of Korea and things of that sort. Anything that's out there will be in Gideon on any of those topics. This is the largest node. Unfortunately, the influenza virus, the influenza node is giving me not only do I have laryngitis, but I get an actual headache when I work on this node. It's going on and on and on. It doesn't finish, but just to show you the kind of stuff, this is one node, chronology of flu in humans, chronology of flu in birds. By the way, it has all of the zoonotic diseases. In other words, any disease that's in animals and also in humans, it will have the animal data as well. So it's a chronology of influenza in birds. And this is just an endless node. Vaccine recommendations, chronology of vaccines that were used for influenza. And it's up to actually 1,800 references right now. I just stopped updating this slide. If you want to specifically get into outbreaks of disease, Gideon has an icon here for outbreaks. You click on the disease, you click on that icon, and here you get a list of all the outbreaks that have been reported for, in this case, Legionellosis. If you click on a specific country, let's say Spain, you get a chronology of all outbreaks of Legionnaires' disease in that country. It's got every outbreak of every disease in every country. In other words, you want all the measles outbreaks for Denmark or all of the plague outbreaks for Algeria or whatever, you'll get that kind of chronology. It's also got a seroprevalence and prevalence icon. That's this one. So I want all of the AIDS prevalence data for every country, or I want to know how many women in the States have cytomegalovirus antibodies, or how many women in Brazil have toxoplasma antibodies, anything that involves a prevalence. How many kids have hookworm in Kenya? You'll get that kind of stuff. So AIDS prevalence studies in India, this is in commercial sex workers and injecting drug users and what have you. And there are lots of those. Also, again, animals. Here's toxoplasma studies in animals. The veterinarians like this kind of stuff as well. Something very exciting that we've been doing only the past few weeks, actually, which some of you, I think, haven't seen. Gideon works on spreadsheets. The things that we're all talking about here essentially work on spreadsheets. We're working in Access or Excel or what have you, and you're not seeing the spreadsheets. And what Gideon does is I apply code words and HTML tags and things that are rather technical to text and numbers in such a way that the server knows how to take these data and convert it into what you saw. This is how Gideon works. I put a thing here, and the server knows, well, make it into a page looking like that. That's essentially what's going on here. So we said to ourselves, well, if we can make Gideon out of this, why can't we do the same kind of thing and create text in the sense of a book? Why can't we ask the server to actually write books? And the books just came out. And what we've done is we've written 411 books in a space of a week. I don't know what the Guinness Book of Records on that is, but I wrote 411 books in a week. They're published. They have a national, I think Asimov had 500 books, actually, but it took him his whole lifetime. I published 411 books that got my name on them in a space of a week. And the nice thing, these are electronic books, e-books, is 411 books with 95,000 pages. They'll be updated every year to begin with. They could be updated every month, anytime we want. And the updates obviously have the data get updated and the corrections are made, because this is the first draft, there may be some spelling errors or what have you. This is one of them, The Infectious Disease of Haiti. This is one of the 411 books. These are some of the others. They go from Afghanistan to Zimbabwe. Or by disease, there's a book on every disease. I can give you the Lyme book, by the way. Remind me, I'll give you that one. It's sort of fun. And the books have this. It's an A to Z book. This case is Haiti, so it's anthrax in Haiti. What is anthrax? Clinical. The references are linked. Since it's an electronic book, it's online. So when you click on this, you get the actual reference, you see, which is an advantage, obviously, over other books. They're green. They don't require paper or ink or storage or transportation. They're nice in many other ways. If you click on your edit, find option, you can do searches through the book. You can copy and paste and steal everything you want from the book, you know, anything you want to do with it. Put it into a PowerPoint or that kind of thing. This is one of the references when you click on a reference. The graphs are in the book, the things that you've been saying. There are 37,000 graphs right now in the books. Another option here is the graph option. Let's see. You can choose either a country or a disease and generate graphs. It's all rather simple. It's explained over here. I want to compare some diseases for let's say a country. So I've chosen Israel and I clicked off some diseases on Israel. I want to make a graph comparing those. And the graph comes up instantly. So this compares the rates or the incidence or anything you want to look for of any group of diseases in any country. The other option would be to compare a disease among countries. That is, I'm selecting AIDS. Back there were 1,800 AIDS graphs just for that disease. There were 1,800 graphs. It's gone over 2,000 though. So I want to know, well, who's got more AIDS? Israel, Hong Kong, Hungary, Ireland. Anybody want to guess who's the winner here? And the answer is Ireland. Ireland's got more AIDS. Here's some other, these are smallpox graphs. Going back, the data go back to the 1800s. I have Glanders data for animals going back to the 1800s. Some of them are rather old, very interesting data, actually, historically. So smallpox, the spotted fevers of three different countries, the West Nile, of course, of very common. This is what I was talking about to you yesterday. This is Slovenia. And these are the other countries. The most, now everybody's going to know it, but the highest rates of Lyme disease in the world are in Slovenia, believe it or not, much more than the United States. some of that bird flu data that we've been talking about. There's a travel option now in Gideon. It's a pre-travel. That is information given to travelers before they get to a country. This is for the doctor giving advice. This is for the traveler himself. And this is on the diseases. I'll show you in a second what that means. All of this is printable. You can prepare a pamphlet, in this case, on Saudi Arabia for travelers. This is what the traveler might want to know about Saudi Arabia insofar as disease risks and their maps. And it's not just infectious disease. It's mountain sickness, which they don't have in Saudi Arabia, and swimming diseases and sunlight and things like that. Something that's unique for Gideon is this. It's got the malaria and things that you see in other programs, but it's got a list down here of all diseases that might be relevant to travel, where there are notes. In other words, there's an adenovirus note for Saudi Arabia and Gideon. There's an AIDS note, of course, for Saudi Arabia and Gideon. But it also chronicles the last outbreak. The last outbreak of that disease in that country was 84. That automatically will appear as the outbreaks come in. There's also a chronicle of transborder events. That is, all of the cases in which someone acquired rabies in one country and came to another country. All of the incidences where someone got sleeping sickness in, let's say, Tanzania and came to another country. And it's not just humans, but also animals. So these are all the rabies cases transported. These are all the instances of rabies transported in animals. Histoplasmosis going transborder. And again, I apologize for speaking so rapidly. There's a drugs module. And the drugs module, it's descriptive material like the Sanford book, those of you who know it. The dosages, the side effects, the interactions, and things of that sort for every drug. But here I've said, well, I don't want all the drugs. I want just the HIV drugs. So you automatically get that list. And having gotten the list, you can make that pamphlet. You can make a pamphlet of HIV drugs for your fellows. Just click on that and the print option, then the next one and the print option. You get this nice little booklet on AIDS drugs. I can look for trade names. Believe it or not, there are 605 trade names for ampicillin. This is bi-directional. If I know the trade name, I get the generic. Of course, this is what we talked about before. If you know the disease name, you get the alternative names in many languages, or vice versa. And they've got not as many languages as you've got, but we've got also Swedish and Norwegian and Portuguese and Italian. I'll show you some of that later, perhaps. In this case, I've clicked off several things. I said, I want what drugs might be effective against anthrax, melioidosis, and plague all at the same time. So Gideon is saying, well, chloramphenicol might cover all three, you see. Or you've got someone who's got tuberculosis and MRSA. What would cover the TB and the MRSA at the same time, you see, and you've got that list. The spectrum is fusidic acid, which I use a great deal, actually, in my country. And the what used to be called NCCLS, the breakpoints and things that are technical to microbiologists, how do you test susceptibility in the laboratory, and all that data are here as well. Toxicities, interactions. If there are interactions, what is the nature of the interaction? You can compare drugs. I just click on any group of drugs, and I'll get this kind of list. I click three drugs. I push the compare button. So these are three antiparasitic drugs. What's the difference in their spectrum? This is a first, a second, and a third generation cephalosporin. Those of you who know what that is. These are three antiviral drugs. How would I compare? What is the difference between the spectrum of those three antiviral drugs? Just any combination of drugs. A similar material for vaccines. I don't think you get to use that vaccine very much in your practices. It's chiasinophorus vaccine. There's also an Argentine hemorrhagic fever vaccine. There is any vaccine that's out there. There are vaccines that are not described in Levine's book, by the way. Don't tell him, but there's some things that are not in the book, but I've got them. So what's the dose? What's the booster? When do you give it? Here I've asked for a list of all the vaccines. I just clicked on pregnancy, and I get that list. These are vaccines that can't be used in pregnancy. Or I want a list of all the vaccines that cause Guillain-Barré syndrome. There are 18 of those, you see. Just I click on that, and this list comes up. I'm in the microbiology module. Microbiology works the same way as diagnosis, but instead of putting in signs and symptoms, I'm putting in what are called phenotypic tests. These are the symptoms, if you will, of the bacteria. This is a bacterium that's blue-colored and branching, and if you don't know the technology, you know, and it's long-shaped. It's a gram-positive branching bacillus, and as you put this in, the list constantly evolves in front of your eyes, and this says, well, the next best test at this point is an acetate. An acetate is the test that's most likely to have that list. That's what it's telling me here, so I'll answer that if I know it. This list is Bayesian, and this is not like those of you who work in bacteriology. You'll find a MicroScan and Vitek. What are you running? Do you know what machines you guys have got? Most of the American things are Vitek or MicroScan nowadays, or API, you know what you've got? Yeah, all of those machines are non-Bayesian. In other words, if you put in just a gram-negative rod, believe it or not, you get it'll give equal weight to plague and E. coli. If a gram-negative rod comes into your hospital in Maryland, it'll say that it could be equally E. coli versus plague. It doesn't give any weight. So these are weighted because it's Bayesian. So it says, no, Cardiasteroides is a more common species. In other words, all of these will do this phenotype, but that's the common species. It's Bayesian. And I have great arguments with people about this. I can say why something didn't show up. I ask, why is it not actinomyces? Having clicked on the organism, I get this kind of information. What is it? What's the color and smell? What are the old names? It's got the old names and the new names, stuff that we were discussing. The full phenotype would come up. And it gives me this kind of information. That particular organism, there are 17 drugs that might be effective. The drug of choice is that thing over there. I can compare any group of bacteria. So what's the difference between the organism that causes glanders and the one that causes melioidosis? And I'll get that. And it's got also mycobacteria and yeast. So what's the difference between avium intracellular, bovis, and tuberculosis, which are very similar organisms? And you get that kind of chart, you see. And you can do it with yeast as well. The last part of Gideon is twofold. There's a what's new. We update the program every day, every 1 to 3 days, depending on what's coming in. And this is an example of a three-day update, because you don't know what's gone into the program. It's so huge at this point. So lots of stuff has gone in about influenza during that period. But there was a note about candidiasis in China and dengue in Taiwan, as you see, and this goes on. There's a map down here, and if you click on a country, you see what was new in that country. As you click, the country gets bigger. I want to know what went in for China during that period, for the three-day period. And something happened with respect to bartonellosis, hepatitis B, and what have you. There's a search box up here, which in some ways is similar to the Google box. First of all, I can search on a term. Kusma, as you know, is the Norwegian name for mumps. So if I write in that word, it goes to mumps over here. It gives me anything, the mumps module, if you will, of Gideon. I can also write in that box, instead of saying search, I can write diagnosis. So I put in here itchy rash, no runny nose, and Bali. And Gideon will transmit lay terms into medicalese terms, the proper terms. So having put that in, if I click diagnose, this comes up. It translated Bali into Indonesia, and it's transmitted itchy rash into pruritus and runny nose into rhinitis. You see, it automatically does it. And the people who make Gideon are thinking of actually making a lay program on the net for mommy and daddy. And this, you know, I'm not so happy about that. I think there are sort of legal issues involved in there. But they say, well, everybody should be allowed to say, I have a boy in my house who has headache and a fever. And it'll come up with this kind of thing. But I don't know. You know, they're discussing this. You can also do this kind of search. This is the Google kind of search. I want all outbreaks in Gideon, because there are thousands of outbreaks. There were 31,000 outbreaks right on Gideon. So I want all outbreaks that had to do with peanuts and salmonella. So you can do that kind of search. And these are all the salmonella peanut outbreaks in Gideon.